Today on Movie World, as we talk about Ready or Not and the Peanut Butter Falcon. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello. I thought when you said ready or not, you were like saying I'm starting the podcast whether you guys are ready or not.
We're never ready. We just have to start midstream.
Given that we've been trying to start this podcast for the past half hour.
That's true.
Rashmi and I
Boring Yazdi with all our pictures and stories.
We've just gotten back from a trip to
epic adventure
to Manic India.
Yes, which is my first time in India. Rashmi, you went
many years ago
as a wee Rashmi.
Yes.
We were boring Yazdi to death with the 2,500 photos that we took. Digital photography and Google Photos, unlimited storage.
It's the worst combination.
It's awful. We snap everything. And like, I need to spend a week just throwing out 90% of those. But some of them came out well.
I don't think anybody goes to India and comes back without an opinion. It's impossible. One way or the other, you're going to have a very strong opinion.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because we were talking to somebody about this yesterday and I said it's beautiful, it's dirty, it's oppressively full of people, but it's also beautifully spiritual. It's like so many contrasts. There's poverty, there's luxury.
Wealth like we can't even imagine in the US, right? We imagine, or even certainly we heard some Indian people in India talking about, you know, the US is paved with streets of gold and if you're wealthy in India, it's beyond anything you could even imagine in the US.
Yeah, wealthy people anywhere else in the world have nothing on the wealthy in India.
Yeah.
If you're wealthy in India, your life is made.
Yeah, you literally live like Maharajas.
Luxury, right?
Yeah,
you live like kings and queens, yeah.
But it was a superb trip. We managed to avoid... Well, Rashmi had a touch of the Delhi belly.
I did.
I managed to avoid it.
You did.
Which I'm kind of happy about, because that was the one thing I was most worried about. But Yazdi, your advice to not eat street food in India was...
Was good advice.
Good advice. Because I would have naively gone ahead and said, let's try this, let's try that.
Well, there's a trade-off, right? I mean, it kind of severely restricts your options for food, but I think... Better to be able to get out of bed the next morning.
yeah.
And we didn't eat badly. I think that was a 5-pounder. I think that...
Oh,
that,
I think more. Yeah. I haven't even stepped on the scale.
That's I often rate our vacations by the amount of pounds I gain coming back. And I think this was a 5 or 10-pounder. It was good.
That's not bad.
So, we do have a couple of movies to talk about today, but we... Thought we had time for our regular segment of I can't find anything to watch on VOD. And we've been traveling on back of airplanes and Netflix, and both Amazon actually allow you to load stuff onto iPads and things. So in addition to being able to stream it at home, you can do that. And so we do this segment because there's too much choice. They're constantly coming out with new movies every week, every month. We would like to help you negotiate the many, many choices that you have available to you for streaming. So, guys, what's in your queues?
So, talking about being on the back of an airplane, I did watch this one on the back of an airplane, and it is a Netflix original, and it's called Always Be My Maybe. And this is a recent movie that just came out, I think, within the last 3 or 4 months. You know, it's a beautiful romantic comedy. Yazdi, I'm going to recommend that you watch this one. This is going to be right up your street. But it's a smart romantic comedy. And it's got a great, all I'll say, it's got a great
cameo
by Keanu Reeves, right, which had me in stitches. Like, I actually had to stop the movie on the plane because I was laughing so hard.
So the Twitterverse has been quite abuzz with Keanu Reeves' little...
This is very much him laughing at himself 110%. It's hilarious, but just the two leads, Ali Wong and Randall Park, and a guy called Michael Golomko. This is just a gem of a movie. It's just such a sweet, funny, current, relevant, romantic comedy.
It's not corny. Overly.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It. I mean, you know what?
Right.
I can't wait to watch this one again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's high praise. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it's very
because
much...
you're the cynical one.
I know.
So
I know.
But, when you,
a,
I'm
but
surprised.
A good one,
yeah, okay.
A good one is worth its weight in gold.
Okay.
And it's very much in the vein of kind of Crazy Rich Asians. It's got that same sensibility in some ways. Hmm. It's not Crazy Rich Asians. It's very funny. It's very smart. And Ali Wong is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie.
She has a great stand-up special on Netflix,
too. Oh, does she?
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great movie. Yazdi, I want you to watch this one, and I want you to report back.
Okay, I will. Okay.
Always be my maybe.
Easy enough,
yes. Yazdi, what's on your list?
So, what's on my list is a movie that we all saw, actually, earlier this year, and it's already on Prime Video. It's from the director of The Lunchbox, and it's his latest movie, and it's called Photograph.
Oh, I love that movie.
And this is on Amazon. You owe yourselves to watch this. It's a little gentle, little beating heart of a movie that you hold in your hands and treasure. And it's about two people who have no reason to ever connect, who land up connecting. Each has their own reason for kind of continuing their connection with each other. It does not play by, you know, typical plot devices.
It's so unpredictable.
It's very unpredictable. It's lovely. There is a lot of insight about India in it. It's just a very gentle, sweet movie about being human, I think. It's on my list of the best movies of the year so far. So it's called Photograph. It's by Ritesh Patra. Watch it. It's great.
Absolute gem of a picture.
Lovely
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, we and it's really. I wish we'd thought of it because you know, it, having just been to India, I mean, it has a really nice in my mind now that you know, having been there, a really nice portrayal of you know what the country's like. So yeah, lovely.
And it's also a movie about movies, which we always
yes.
love.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and kind of unusual protagonists.
Very
not your Bollywood, and it's not a Bollywood movie by any means,
mm-mm.
but, you know, not your good-looking, filmy type of leads. Just really authentic.
Yeah, Nawazuddin Siddiqui, who plays the lead, he's an absolute treasure. I mean, he is not good-looking by any standards, but he's just like a chameleon. Every movie that he is in, he just blows you away. He's incredible, yeah. Your pick?
My pick is on Netflix, and it comes out, I think, on September 10th, so around the time, hopefully, this podcast is issued. And Rashmi, I'm going to have to ask you to hold your groan here, but this is the movie Eat, Pray, Love. We've got a silent groan.
I thought you were going to say Jackass 3.
Yes! That gem of a movie.
No, it's good.
You know, this movie is considered by many to be something of a misfire, and I think we reviewed it
kind of
early on in our movie all those days, because I remember it was probably one of the first podcasts where there was real dissent between, you know, Yazdi and I and Rashmi, I think. It's a movie that just worked for me. I think there is a book on which it's based, which is much loved, and I think a lot of the criticism came from it not having the you know, the heft of the book and the meaningfulness of the book. But for me, it was just a visual treat. I felt like I had traveled with the character. I felt like I enjoyed some of the experiences that she had, and so it worked really well for me. It's a very easy movie to watch. You know, I don't think this is one that you need to kind of sit there and immerse yourself in, but just, you know, enjoy. So I liked it a lot. Rashmi, you're going to say something?
No, I'm going to say the same thing that I did when we reviewed the movie when it came out, which is that I think a lot rests on Julia Roberts' shoulders. And, you know, she was, you know, America's sweetheart for decades. But I think in her current incarnation, I think she's a little underrated. I think people forget how much of a good screen presence she continues to be. And I love how she has aged physically as well as with the kind of roles she has taken. And this one is a great example. I think she was really underrated in this movie. She's very good.
G-R-O-A-N. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so our three movies are Always Be My Maybe, Photograph, and Eat, Pray, Love. Plenty to watch on VOD. Check those out.
Okay,
moving on then. So let's jump, I guess, into the first of our reviews. Should we start with Ready or Not?
Yep.
Okay, so give us a background on that.
Yeah, so Ready or Not is by directors Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette, and it's written by Guy Busick and Ryan Murphy. And interestingly, the Cinema Junkie podcast at in La Jolla, they actually interviewed all four of these. And they
these
four individuals seem like people who are in the same fraternity, and they just even sound like each other. I mean, so they have to repeatedly during the interview say, hey, by the way, I'm Ryan. By the way, I'm, you know, so these four people have been in the industry writing scripts, doing things for about 15 or 20 years until this particular script was sent to them. And I believe this is their first major film product. And Ready or Not is kind of a genre film. You know, in one way, it could be put in the horror genre, but only, I think, if you were forced to. The premise of the movie is that a bride's wedding night takes a very sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game. This is from the IMDb description of the movie. And the premise essentially is this girl is getting married into this very large, very wealthy family, which has made its money from selling board games. And as part of their family ritual, on the wedding night, the bride has to play this board game where the rest of the family participates. And of course, things take a turn for the dark. The movie stars an unknown Samara Weaving in the lead role, and we can talk about her some more, as well as Adam Brody. Andy McDowell, whom we haven't seen in a long time, is here, as is Henry Zerny, Mark O'Brien, and others. So what do you guys think of Ready or Not?
What a great, efficient, fun little movie, which is just balls to the wall crazy, but you can tell everyone's having so much fun. I just love this movie. It's like Clue meets Die Hard slasher porn.
Yeah.
That's a perfect description of it. You know, Ready or Not, it's kind of one of those movies that, Rashmi, you suggested we go watch.
Yazdi's recommendation,
Yeah. Okay. I literally was not ready for it. I had no idea what this movie was about. So going in and kind of hearing that premise and then going on the journey on which it took me did somewhat catch me off guard. But it's fabulously entertaining. It's horribly quirky. I mean, the movie really is, it instantly goes to like level 11 on the craziness. So, you know, fabulously entertaining. I just don't know that I loved it. I found it very enjoyable in the moment. Just bonkers mad. A little too off kilter for me, I think.
Yazdi, you saw the original screening. So.
I saw the original, and I really loved it as well. And again, I'm not the horror fan. I think it's only horror in terms of, you know, things get a little gruesome towards the end.
Yeah.
But I think what I really like about this movie is that it's not Midsommar. And again, Midsommar is, you know, one of my favorite movies of this year. But this movie is the opposite of Midsommar. It has no pretensions. It doesn't want to talk about how we live now. It doesn't want to talk about, you know, the state of human relationships and all that. It's very, very humble in terms of its in terms of what it wants to do. It wants to make you laugh. It wants to make you be entertained, and it's never trying to be too clever by half. That's right. What I really liked. I mean, at one point I was kind of disappointed because the lead protagonist, she actually gets out of the house, and I kind of felt, no, send her back in the house. More crazy, evil, tricky things should happen to her. But then I thought, no, you know, we don't want to make a movie complicated just for the sake of making it complicated. Keep it simple, you know. So I really like the simplicity of it, how it has low ambitions, but it delivers on those so beautifully. It has one of the greatest little flips in the very end that I didn't see coming at all. And Samara Weaver, we should talk about her, who looks like a very young Margot Robbie.
Yes,
Young. And she is, I think she is the movie. I think the whole movie depends. The audience member is her in the movie because we are seeing the movie through her eyes. And she's incredible in it. She just nails things one after the other.
Yeah.
There's one line in particular towards the end which she says, and I'm like, this line should not have worked. And she totally makes it ring. So,
yeah. This lives and dies, like you said, by Samara Weaving's performance. And she hasn't done very much previously, nothing of note. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was an incredibly believable and authentic performance. Her facial expressions are so real that I was genuinely scared for her. But I love how gruesome this film is. Again, I don't love horror, but I think this is so wonderfully and comically gruesome. It feels like that same vein of kind of What We Do in the Shadows, quirky, off-kilter, but really funny, like genuinely funny humor for me.
It
worked so well. And it's 95 minutes. It's so efficient.
I completely disagree with the categorization and the use of the word horror in anything describing this movie. I mean, I think it's horror in the
it's
sense
horrific.
Of the blood and guts.
Yeah.
Right.
But there aren't any scares. In fact,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
it's kind of giddy, gleeful, you know,
it's
bloody
hilarious.
Mess,
yeah.
you know, is more what we get
yeah.
here. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that I struggled with it is, you know, there's not much of the way of explanation, and I think maybe that's intentional, right? You said it's a very efficient movie, so it doesn't try and justify any of its mm-hmm. world at all. It's like, here are the rules, and this is how it goes. So, you know, we have this funny little prologue at the beginning, which I think would ideally have been, you know, a bit more of a foreshadowing, sinister.
I liked it.
I loved it.
Okay.
You didn't find that was pretty scary, actually.
That
I
was
thought
about
that was
the scariest
bit of the
but
movie.
But I then kind of wanted to continue that theme of dread into the main movie. And I think as soon as the movie, you know, ready, set, goes kind of thing, then you lose any of that real creepy, crawly dread that I think the movie could have benefited by having a little bit more of.
I agree with you. I think they could have followed that path and it would have been a different movie and it would have been a very good movie too. But I think they might have very consciously made that choice to keep it more on the funnier side, on the gleeful side versus more on the suspense side. Not that there isn't suspense here, but I think maybe, I don't know if I'm giving too much away, but I think one of the great joys of watching this movie is it becomes a cat and mouse game, right? Her whole family's out to get her and she has to run. And it's not just a game anymore. She has to run for her life. And the whole point of the movie is how utterly, utterly horrible every one of them is, you know, in their jobs, that they're so inefficient. They constantly keep making mistakes again and again and again in terms of getting to her. So that was very, very, very funny for me.
Yeah, and I feel like it could have very easily have gone down this class, wealth, how people live. And I love that it just chose to stay focused. I think you said it, Yazdi. I mean, I can wind this one up. I think this is probably the most fun you'll have in 95 minutes. And I would recommend this to anyone. It's such a fun movie.
Yeah, it's perfect back of the plane.
Oh, score.
Oh, yes.
8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give it an 8 out of 10 as well. Because what it wants to do, it just delivers in shovels. You know, it tries to make some commentary about the rich people, which doesn't really stick.
Right.
It, you know, it keeps
it
saying a couple
matter.
Of times, like, effing rich people. But, you know, don't even bother. I think it's like a board game. You mentioned it was Clue with
Die Hard. Yeah.
I said Clue with Final Destination.
Oh,
you know, a combination where people die strange deaths.
Yeah.
Very creative deaths. But it's so much fun. You know, I think if you want to spend an hour and a half, you know, on a rainy weekend or at the back of an airplane, you could do far worse. Very well deserved 8 out of 10. And knowing that this came out of nowhere with almost no big name actors other than, you know, Adam Brody and
Andy McDowell
and, you know, made by these group of, you know, four friends, it's quite an achievement. And even from a craft perspective, it doesn't look like somebody's early film. It looks pretty polished.
The production is lovely.
Yeah, it's very polished.
Very, very nice. Okay, Joe, you're it.
I'm going to give it a 7. I think it is fabulous fun, but it's very, very instantly disposable. And there's a little quote here, just as I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes review by somebody called EJ Marino from the website Flickering Myth, which I think sums it up for me. It's that if I ordered this movie at a restaurant, I'd send it back with a complaint that there's a little too much comedy in my horror. And I think that to me is kind of my feeling over it. It's a lark. It feels very larkish, like, and you know, it's meant to be fun, but it also feels a little too lightweight for me.
Yeah, so. It's not far. It's not in a different universe to The Dead Don't Die. It's that same kind of cynical, quirky.
It lines a little better with less, what we do in the shadows.
Yeah,
for me, but
yeah. It's that same universe, though.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think this one is definitely more accessible.
Correct. Than correct. The Dead Don't Definitely.
Die. This one will work with
this
anyone.
This is much more mainstream. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Movie number two
of the week then is The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yes. So I'm just going to give this the very simple introduction, which is Zach runs away from his care home to make his dream of becoming a wrestler come true. This is directed by Tyler Nielsen and Michael Schwartz. And written by them as well. And it stars Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Johnson, Zach Gottsagen, John Hawkes. We haven't seen John Hawkes in ages. Thomas Hayden Church is here. Bruce Dern, John Bernthal, someone called Yellow Wolf, Jake Roberts and Mick Foley, amongst some others. And I'm sad I didn't see this one. Yazdi, you're the only one of us that did. The Peanut Butter Falcon, what a strange title.
Yeah, yeah. Although the movie, to its great credit, does explain the title. What can I say? I think this is a Yazdi movie. I loved it. It's a movie after my heart. It may come off a little too...
precious?
What's the word? No, not precious. It may come off a little, you know... diabetic to some people. Some people might find it a little too sweet. But actually, I think the movie makes no qualms about the fact that it's based on, or the filmmakers are following like a very Mark Twain kind of Tom Sawyer kind of story. It's set in the Deep South. It's about a person who is fleeing, somebody, an outcast who is fleeing, and then this other kid who is kind of helping that person. Escape.
With Shia LaBeouf in it.
So let's talk about Shia LaBeouf. But that was the story of Tom Sawyer, right? It's this slave kid along with Tom Sawyer who go off on a raft. Mm-hmm. Well, in this movie, this little kid, and by the way, to their great credit, they have hired in the lead role an actual kid who has Down syndrome, and that's the lead character in the movie, and the premise of the movie is that this kid who has Down syndrome, because the system doesn't know what to do with this kid, they've kind of shunted him to a retirement home with older people. And that's not a place where somebody with those challenges needs to be. And so he is kind of goaded on by all the older retirees to run away from there so he can go kind of find his own place. So this little kid runs away and he happens to kind of meet Shia LaBeouf, who is kind of a down on his luck kind of far gone character who is escaping from the world as well, and the two of them forge a friendship. What I will tell you is that at no point, I tend to be somewhat cynical, at no point does the movie feel inauthentic. The lead character is so believable, and I think Shia LaBeouf has gotten to a stage now where he's kind of faced his demons. I don't know if he's gotten rid of them, but he's almost embraced his demons now. And this is about as good as I've seen him. I'm going to put him down for best actor.
Really?
This year. He is so good here because he plays somebody who is kind of beaten down by life, who is kind of, you know, has the world is kind of left behind. He's taking off and he's almost, against his better instincts, somehow forced to take charge of this kid who is tagging along with him. And most of the movie is about him and the two of them just getting away while different people are in their pursuit. So the kid, the only thing that the kid really loves is the old 80s boxing videos, the
Like WWF?
WWF videos.
Wrestling
videos. And so he, at one point, the Shia LaBeouf character asks him that if I take you to this, you know, great boxing WWF star, you know, how would you like to introduce yourself? What would be your wrestler name? And he says, my name would be Falcon. And then he says, well, you can't just be Falcon. And so he says, well, I love peanut butter, so I'm going to call my wrestling name is going to be Peter Butter Falcon. And the whole movie is towards them trying to get to this old person who in the 80s used to be a big WWF star, played by Thomas Hayden Church. It's all has a beautiful southern setting. It's very Americana. Dakota Johnson, I have never seen her so sweet and gentle.
And clothed.
And clothed, yes, very clothed. And she actually plays the nurse at the retirement home where the kid was. And she genuinely cares for him and she's afraid that he's run away. So she's trying to find him as well. So it's about how you make a family of misfits, of people who the world has left behind. It's just lovely. It filled me up.
It has reviewed incredibly well. I'm looking at its Rotten Tomatoes score here and of 131 reviews. 95% were positive, so it sounds like you're not unique in your opinion of this.
Yeah, it's a sweet, sweet film.
Is it a crowd pleaser? I mean, yes. Is it kind of, but is it, like, you know, contrived? I mean, you said it's a little diabetic. Does it come across as pat in any way? Or because I get a little frustrated when movies get a little too cutesy, you know, Blindside springs to mind, that kind of thing.
I think they go through a lot of hardships and they go through a lot of hard times. And I think it may seem contrived only in terms of how it eventually all plays out, where you might have kind of seen it coming from the start. But I think the movie is just a call for us to kind of look out for each other, especially when one of us is different from the others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this case, it's this kid with Child syndrome, but it could be for anything. And, you know, Bruce Dern has a wonderful part as one of the old codgers in this retirement home who, you know, as miserable as he is, he's completely committed to help this little kid escape. And there, you know, I don't know. I was really, really surprised by Shia LaBeouf here. I mean, he's born to play this role. I don't know who else would have done it. Maybe Woody Harrelson or somebody like that. But it's a sweetheart of a movie.
Score. I think
8 out of 10, easily. Yeah, it's a film after my heart. It just felt like a warm embrace to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I laughed and I cried.
Oh.
Checked both boxes, huh?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's wrap up the podcast for now. So thank you for listening. If you've made it this far, mail at movieworlders.com, twitter.com/movieworlders, facebook.com/movieworlders, instagram.com/movieworlders as well. Lots of ways to check us out on social media. So please do that. Interact with us whenever you can. We would love to get your tweets and messages and Instagram comments. So until our next podcast, too many movies, too little time. And goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.